Maya was going to have a baby. It was due in just 2 weeks. Maya's husband, Eli, was very pleased that he would be a father soon, but he was also anxious. He was longing for a child, but he knew that some women were not the same after the birth, and some of them had trouble during the birth. He hoped Maya would be all right. Hello, my friends, and welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Carol, and I'm happy that we can be together again today. Tammy and I are going to tell you about Maya and her pregnancy and how she prepared her body for the birth of her baby. Tammy, if Maya is due in 2 weeks, I can just imagine how big she must have been and how she would waddle as she walked.
She did. Yes, Maya walked very awkwardly. She also had difficulty holding her water.
Mm-hmm.
She had to go to the toilet so often to pass urine. It was hard for her to squat down and hard to get up again. But the older women in her village told her it was always like that. It's good to have people that have been through pregnancy to help you feel calm and understand what's happening, especially with your first birth.
Well, one of Maya's village friends, Abishi, told her to go to the health clinic where a trained nurse was going to help her. You see, Abishi's first baby had been born in the village and it got stuck and it died on its way out into the world. It tore her female parts when they finally got that poor little baby out, dead and stiff. But as a result, Abishi leaked urine all the time and life was awful for her for a few years. Finally, she stopped leaking urine after she had an operation. So Abishi obviously wanted to help Maya so that the same thing did not happen to her.
The nurse at the clinic told Maya how to do exercises for the muscles between her legs that control the flow of urine. So once a day, Maya had to stop the flow of urine, count to 10, and then let go again. The nurse told Maya it was important to practice tightening up those muscles and also relaxing them, doing this many times during the day. This would make those muscles strong and help her to control her urine. Also, when giving birth, she would know how to relax them properly to let the baby come out. Maya practiced tightening and relaxing the muscles while she was still pregnant to prevent what had happened to her friend, Abishi.
The nurse also taught Maya to breathe properly. She learned how to take slow breaths and relax as she let the breath out. This would help her to cope with pain in the early stages of labor. Then Maya learned how to make small, quick, panting breaths to use when she would be having a strong birth contraction before it was time to push. And then she learned how to take a big breath and let it out slowly while she pushed. She practiced that when she opened her bowels on the toilet. And Maya felt like she was training for a big marathon race.
Mm-hmm.
At last, a new little life entered her world, and Ravi was beautiful, and his mother and father were thrilled.
Now, it wasn't an easy birth, though. Maya was in labor for 16 hours, and Ravi was quite a big baby. The midwife kept reminding her of how to breathe at each stage, and that helped. Maya was very tired after the work of delivering her baby. Maya had a sleep. When she got up, she felt there was some blood still trickling out of her. The nurse told her that that's normal. The uterus, that's the bag inside her where the baby grew, had to heal and shrink after the baby was born. Then Maya walked towards the toilet and felt some urine dribbling out. She was embarrassed, but the woman next to her laughed and said it happened to her too. Maya remembered what she had learned. She must start doing those exercises again right away. It felt all so strange down between her legs. It was a bit raw and painful and weak, but Every morning when she went to the toilet, she practiced stopping the flow of urine and starting again. Even when she was resting, she tightened up the muscles, counted to 10, and relaxed them again.
Let's stop and talk about this for a while. We call the exercises that Maya did pelvic floor exercises. The muscles between our legs make up the bottom of the pelvis, so they stop the insides of us from sagging or falling out. You can make them strong by tightening and then relaxing them, or pulling them up inside you every time you think about it.
Those are your pelvic floor exercises, and you need to make your tummy muscles strong too. You can do that by pulling your tummy in and holding it for 10 counts without holding your breath. I was taught to do this 10 times in a row, and I would do it whenever I sat down to feed the baby. And you can make your back stronger by tightening your buttock muscles in the same way. Tighten, hold, and release.
Imagine you have to hold everything in by holding your muscles tight. Well, you'll get better at this as you practice, and your muscles, they'll get stronger. Remember that Maya had to practice this before the baby was born, as well as afterwards. If you're a mother, did you do this? Maybe no one told you about it then, but you can practice it now, no matter how old you are, and it will help you to stop leaking and also protect your back from getting hurt.
Abishi talked to Maya before the birth about breastfeeding. She insisted that breast milk was the safest and specially designed for babies. She said, as soon as the baby is born, let it suck on your breasts. But I won't have any milk, will I? Asked Maya. No, but you will have a little thick yellow milk called colostrum. That is very important nutrition for the baby. And sucking will help get the milk started, and it will help the placenta to come out in one piece. You'll feel your uterus tighten up when the baby sucks. So Maya followed Abishi's advice, and she felt very close to little Ravi as he sucked. It was a beautiful moment.
And the next day, Maya's breasts felt tender, and she could see a little bit of that special first milk called colostrum. The nurse told Maya that she should breastfeed the baby from the beginning so that the baby would be a strong boy. At first, Maya thought Abishi might be old-fashioned, but she had heard that a new powdered milk had come to their village. She thought that if she used bottled milk, she could leave her baby with her mother-in-law and then go to work like some of the other young mothers. She thought that she might feel important if she went into the shops and spent Eli's money buying the bottle and the powdered milk. But the midwife told her that she would need to sterilize the water to mix the powder or the baby would get sick. She would always have to wash and sterilize the bottles very carefully as well and make sure that the flies did not get into the milk. And then she would have to work out the right amount of powder for the size of her baby. Breast milk was so easy and cheap.
So Maya started to learn about breastfeeding. By feeding her baby, she grew to know little Ravi well. All his beautiful smiles and his little chuckle. She knew how to settle him when he cried, and she loved him dearly. Soon, her baby knew her smell and sound so he would settle better. He knew the rhythm of her life and when to be quiet and how to sit with her when she had to wait. They would be a beautiful pair, friends as well as mother and son. Ravi would be strong to fight diseases as all her strength flowed to him in the milk. His teeth would be strong and white and not rotted by the thin milk with sugar that some mothers gave their babies. She decided that this was the way she would make her baby strong. And Eli loved to see his beautiful wife and son together.
Sometimes it's difficult at first to breastfeed a baby. Sometimes the baby is sleepy or the milk is slow to start, or the mother is sore if she had a difficult labor. But all the medical studies show us that breast is best. Breastfed babies are less likely to get sick or develop asthma or diabetes when they're older. Babies can digest breast milk more easily than cow's milk powders. So if you're wondering how to feed your baby, I encourage you to do your best to breastfeed. But if you can't, be grateful that there are good milk powders that are out there and available, and follow the instructions very carefully. We've just been talking about breastfeeding. Food is very important to us, isn't it? We need more than food for our bodies. We need food for our minds and our souls. Jesus himself said, "A person can't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." What do you think he meant by this? How does God speak to us?
God can communicate with us through nature and things that happened and through other people. The most important way he spoke to us was through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus went back to heaven long ago, so how does God speak to us today? Yes, he gave us a book, a very special book called the Bible. Have you noticed how often we tell stories from the Bible or tell you what the Bible teaches us about something?
You might wonder, why do these women of hope always look for what the Bible says about any problem? Perhaps you wonder why we don't just say to ask your parents for advice, or perhaps to look up on the computer, or maybe go to the library. Why go to a book that's thousands of years old? What could it possibly know about the problems of modern women? Well, we still worry about life. We grieve over death. We want love and attention. We long for comfort and peace. We struggle with relationships. We long to know God and to know how we should live. In our modern world, we have many wonderful things, and we have learned so much. And of course, we sometimes ask our parents for advice. But we still have the problems and the struggles that our ancestors had thousands of years ago. The Bible is where I go for help with all of these things. I believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. God used over 40 human authors to write the Bible over hundreds of years ago in several countries and using three languages. Yes, I believe that the Bible was God-breathed. That means that the Bible's message came directly from God, and I have seen the effect it has when women or men read it and believe it. The message of the Bible really changed their lives.
The Bible itself says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, or giving instruction for right living." When I do go to my parents for advice, they advise me well. However, they can't see into the future. They can't know what I will face tomorrow. Only the God who created the universe knows all about me and what I need. Parents, professionals, and advisors have only a limited human way of looking at things. The Bible was written over a period of 1,500 years, but it has a consistent message and it doesn't change. From beginning to end, it shows us the damage that happens when we turn away from God, and it shows us how God has always loved us and called us back to himself. The whole of the Bible points to our Lord Jesus Christ. He showed us what God was like. The Bible tells us how we can get right with God when we put our faith in Jesus. There are more than 300 predictions in the Bible about people and places that have come true, though they were often written hundreds of years before they happened. The Bible has survived the test of time. How many things in life can you depend on to stay the same? everything in life changes, doesn't it?
Do you know of anything that is completely dependable and never changes? One of God's prophets wrote, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." What was right and wrong according to the Bible thousands of years ago has stayed the same. What was good and bad for our bodies and our minds also remains the same. People's opinions can come and go, and philosophers will change their views through the years. And today, people often say that you can do anything that satisfies you so long as you don't hurt someone else. But I want truth, unchangeable truth that's going to guide me in life. One of the Bible writers wrote this, "God's word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light on my path." We all need help to guide and direct our lives. I choose to look for this wisdom in God's written word, the Bible. And that makes all the difference in my life.
Just mentioned some words from a psalm or poem about God's word being like a light to guide our way in life. We'd like to read to you some more from that psalm, number 119. It's an amazing poem. The writer must have worked it out very carefully because each section has 8 verses, and each of those verses starts with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it starts with the first letter, Aleph, and goes through the whole alphabet. God gave this writer many wonderful thoughts about God's laws, the words that God gave to his people to guide their lives. So let's read a few.
Okay, that's a great idea, Tammy. This is one of the things that he wrote. "Happy are those who live according to the law of the Lord. I delight in following your commands.
I keep your words hidden in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Open my eyes so that I can see the wonderful truths in your law.
Help me to understand your law, and I will meditate on your wonderful teachings.
I compose songs about your commands. In the night, I remember you, Lord, and I think about your law. Because of your constant love, be good to me so that I may obey your laws."
We could go on for another hour. This is the longest chapter in the whole Bible. But I think you see how the writer feels about God's word.
He absolutely loves it. He thinks about it day and night. He feels full of joy that God gave his word. He wants to understand it so that he can follow it and live the best life. He thinks how good God is to give him this gift. I wonder, do you feel like that about God's word? That it's a gift, a great treasure?
Can you remember those words from Psalm 119? God's word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light on my path. The Bible gives light about the really big questions of life. It helps us to understand that we're sinful, that God loves us and wants to forgive us, and it tells us how to live good, moral lives. It seems like a lighthouse showing us all the safe way to go.
But sometimes the Bible seems like a small lantern or a candle that you could carry in your hand on a dark night. It only gives you a little light, just enough to see the very next step. Maybe you feel like you're in the dark in your life just now. In those times, God asks us to have faith and to just do the next thing that he has shown us to do. If you listen to his word or read it in the Bible and follow it, you can trust God to show you the next step to take. He doesn't want to leave you in the dark.
My friend, the Bible does help and encourage you, and it helps you to grow as a believer. In another part of the Bible, the writer tells us, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of God's Word that you may grow. Tammy and I encourage you to read God's Word and become strong in your faith, and then write and tell us how the Word of God has helped you. You can contact us in care of this station or at Women of Hope.
The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page.
So now you know why we, Women of Hope, are always talking about the Bible as God's Word. I hope you learn to love it, to learn it, and to live by it. It will shine light on your path in life.